6:12 at WFMD in the Morning News Express. As he is every month, Mayor Michael O'Connor makes a visit to the Morning News Express, and we thank him for that. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How did you, you know, I always like to start off with something light. How did you enjoy the you're an Irish man yourself. How were the Irish festivities? What did you do?
What did I do? You're talking about St. Patrick's Day, right?
Oh, yes, St. Patrick's Day. I'm sorry.
I want to say I don't remember, but that might come across with the wrong impression. That was like a week ago.
Well, you know, it's right. You know, and this is not anything on you. It's not a reflection on you, but it seems like we as Americans love to find holidays where we can all become somebody else so we can drink. And it was funny because a lot of my Facebook was filled with people who were just having a good time, so to speak, downtown Frederick. And, you know, and as the mayor, do you embrace that? The fact that there's a lot of people who like to come to downtown just to have adult beverages, maybe one or two many?
So I have two thoughts. Number one, when your last name is O'Connor, every day is St. Patrick's Day. When you're lucky enough to be born Irish, you're lucky enough, as the old saying goes. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, if people come downtown and enjoy themselves in a responsible fashion, I'm all for it. That's why we've put in the efforts that we have in downtown Frederick. We want people to enjoy themselves, but we want them to do it in a way that doesn't require us to place an unnecessary burden or response on any of our first responders.
You know, I was emceeing the Leprechaun Luau a few weeks ago, and I was hoping you'd be there. Even though I'm Italian, I was actually Irish. I had this whole big, nice Irish costume going on.
You're Italian?
I am FBI, my friend. Full-blooded Italian.
All right.
Bob hates when I mention that.
I'm pretty sure he's full-blooded New York. That I did know.
Yes, he makes that abundantly clear. All right, let's get to Frederick County is the fastest growing county in Maryland. Yes, he makes that abundantly clear. All right, let's get to Frederick County is the fastest growing county in Maryland. What does that mean for the city, and what kind of challenges does that have for the city?
Well, first and foremost, it means that we're a desirable place for people to want to live. So we're probably doing a lot of things right, because people looking around for a place to live are saying, I want to go to Frederick. I think what that obviously does is forces us to strongly evaluate the infrastructure necessary to support that. And that's transportation capacity, school capacity in the city of Frederick. It's adequate policing, parks, the other public services that we provide, trash collection, et cetera. So it's a constant balancing act in terms of budgeting resources. But I would say in general, I said this to a group of people the other day, you know, jobs are the best economic development tool that you can hand somebody, a good job. And people having a place to live is what supports families and high quality of life. And so it's not that we have to embrace jobs and housing, but they're necessary for us to be a successful community.
We'll have more with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, coming up. If you have a question for him, why don't you text it right now, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD.
930 WFMD with a Fox Sports update.
And just to say that those Frederick County boys were the Frederick Cadets. It's the Morning News Express, 6:20 at WFMD. The mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, is in the studios. Mayor, obviously, I'm sure you've seen the horrific incident that would happen at the Maryland Key, Key Bridge in Baltimore, where it was hit by a ship and collapsed. You know, obviously, we want everybody to come from that safe. But as a municipal leader, when I look and think about bridges and infrastructure, you just mentioned infrastructure, and I tend to go to, it's a county and a state issue, but it's also a city issue. You have some bridges.
Dozens.
Not a whole lot. Pardon?
dozens probably.
Yeah, and I know that I have been told by people who are in the infrastructure business, so to speak, and said that a lot of our bridges and stuff are in need of repair. I know they already did one, but as the mayor, what kind of say and pull do you have when it comes to this, when it comes to infrastructure and bridges and getting them repaired and making sure that they're safe?
Well, when it comes to local infrastructure, it's critical. We, as part of our budget every year, will put funds into rehabilitation projects, road projects, anything that gets into making sure that we're maintaining our infrastructure at the level necessary to sustain public safety. And that's a constant, I won't say challenge, because I think we do it well. We're tracking all of it. We're undergoing regular bridge inspections. We look at all of our infrastructure on a regular basis. We build capital improvements programs across multiple years that fund the work that's necessary in order to undertake these projects when they happen. The biggest challenge we would face, as any community does, would be something that happens unexpected and catastrophic. We know that we've got older pipes in our water system, for example. We've had a couple of water main breaks over the last 3 months that we're lucky were relatively minor in terms of dollar amounts, but it's a big resource cost because it requires the deployment of dozens of personnel for hours in order to close off the break and get the system back running again. If you had something similar happen on a piece of bridge infrastructure over which the city had control, you're looking at the same kinds of challenges. There could be costs if it's unexpected, but that's why we do a bridge inspection program. We don't want to be surprised. What you can't control, and in looking at the video of the Key Bridge incident, is you can't control what happens if somebody makes a mistake. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden a piece of infrastructure gets taken out, not because you didn't maintain it well, but because somebody did something they probably shouldn't have done.
I'm just curious, how often do you have to get the bridges, or how often do you get the bridges normally inspected?
I don't know the answer to that question. I know that there's a protocol, and our mm-hmm. Department of Public Works is all over it.
Okay.
What about going up the chain? I mean, obviously, when it comes to major infrastructure issues, you'll have to get funding from either the county or the state or even federal money. How does that work when you're going up the chain?
Bob, I hope I never find out. I think, you know, when we've seen it in snowstorms, when you can get those disaster declarations, that helps to mobilize emergency management resources at the federal level. I know that our U.S. senators and our congressmen would be very supportive if something like this happened, and I'm sure that the mayor of Baltimore, Brandon Scott, I can't do anything for him. If he thinks I can provide some assistance, I would lend whatever support the city of Frederick can to the city of Baltimore right now to work through this issue. But I imagine they're already on the phone with state and federal officials to look at what it's going to take to get this bridge redone. We saw this in Philadelphia when a piece of their outer beltway collapsed. They managed to get that road open very quickly. They're dealing with it in Rhode Island, near where my daughter lives, and a piece of an interstate highway collapsed. So one of the reasons why the federal government put so much money during the pandemic, when they were looking at resource allocation, was into infrastructure. We know that across this country, we've seen it in, I think, Minneapolis. We've seen it in a number of communities. The infrastructure in this country has to be evaluated. And when it comes to bridges and roads, it's critical. It's critical that we provide the funding necessary at all levels in order to make sure that these lifelines for our communities don't collapse in front of our eyes.
We're talking with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, Free Talk 930 WFMD. There was another incident, I think, over the last couple of since the last time you were here, a couple incidences have happened, maybe a stabbing downtown and another barricade situation. As the mayor, and we've talked to the chief of police, Jason Lando, in that time. When you walk around downtown, does anybody just say, "Hey, we need more police. We don't feel as safe as we used to," or are you not getting that sense? Because I kind of get that from some people, but not everybody.
I hear it from time to time, and I think that's sort of predictable. Anytime you have an incident that makes it into the headlines, that's going to, I think, ramp up people's concerns about whether or not the community is as safe as it can be. as you well know, love to point to the numbers, and the numbers suggest that comparative to other communities of similar size and even bigger or smaller, Frederick is a pretty safe place. But that we don't rest on the numbers alone, and that's why we do make the commitment to putting the resources in place for our police department. We'll be putting out a budget in the next 5 days. We drop it on April 1st. That's not a joke. We actually put the budget out on April 1st. That's what the charter requires us to do, and support for the police department and the continued need for officers is part of what we're going to be proposing. So we don't take it for granted that we're a relatively safe community, because every incident is a person who's been victimized, and we want to make sure that we're doing all that we can to keep that as small a number as it possibly can be.
Well, speaking of numbers, you got a number for us when it comes to the budget?
A number?
Yeah.
I don't know it off the top of my head. I've read it about 50 times over the last 2 weeks, and I just don't retain it the way I used to. That's what a script is for. But we're the tax rate will stay unchanged. It's obviously going to grow. We benefited in the city of Frederick from expanding business opportunity and expanding tax base, and those things all help us to put together a budget that we think funds the services and the supports that our residents expect.
And speaking of that, we'll talk more with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Mike O'Connor, coming up on Free Talk 930
Morning News Express, Free Talk 930 WFMD. Bob Miller, Chris Michaels. We have Frederick Mayor Michael O'Connor, Mayor O'Connor, in with us. Mayor, I had a question. Me and Bob are always talking about transportation issues here in the city of Frederick. What would it take to expand the – I know they were always talking about expanding the metro into Frederick City, but the MART train service, what would it take to expand that? Is that something you'd look into?
We have advocated for expanding MART service on an annual basis probably for 20 years in the city. When it comes to the state's consolidated transportation plan, the two things that we are most interested in seeing is more trains so that you can travel north and south at other times of the day, and weekend service. The challenge with MARC is that the rail lines are not owned by the government. A lot of the rail lines in this country, when we got into automobiles, got sold off to
CSX
railroad company. Mm-hmm. So these are owned by CSX. So it's a lot of negotiation to get them to want to put more passenger service on lines that, quite honestly, are more lucrative to them moving freight than people. And so it's something that we continue to advocate for. We'll continue to ask the state to work with us to do it. I know it's something the city of Brunswick, for example, is very interested in because they've got that station right downtown. We have a station downtown. There are a number of interim steps to get there, bus rapid transit and other things to demonstrate that there's actually a desire that people will use these services when they're there. So we're not going to give up asking. We're going to continue to advocate for that service expansion and hope that over time we'll see it.
And speaking of moving people, we got to check in on traffic and weather together, 6:38 at WFMD. Well, let's get right back to it. The mayor of the city, Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, in the studio this morning with us. Mayor, I was reading through some old articles, and one of them articles was a FMP op-ed that said that the city needs to be more transparent when it comes to the fraud case that you are involved in, the theft of city's money. We've not heard really anything about that. Can you shed some more light on it? Can you be more transparent?
You ask me a question and I will give you the best answer I can give you. That's as transparent as I can be. If I can't tell you something, I won't tell you. If I can, I will. I'm not sure what more we can say. It was a phishing scheme. It involved people falsifying documents that we used to make bill payments. We transmitted through ACH payments to the wrong bank accounts.
What is ACH?
Automated clearinghouse. It's okay. when somebody opts for an electronic transfer of funds as opposed to a paper check.
Okay. So I think I've asked this question before. Because we're still in the process of retrofitting the building, the police command center, whatever you want to call it. And are there, what has been put in place to make sure that something like that never happens again?
So we can't make sure that it never happens again. This wasn't a breach of any system. So I want to be perfectly clear about that. This, no one broke into our computer networks. No one breached our internal security system. This was an old-fashioned paper-style scam. People submitted paperwork. Human beings reviewed that paperwork. They mistakenly made changes to accounts. Those results and changes to accounts resulted in money going in a direction that it shouldn't have gone.
So it ran past more than one set of eyes.
More than one set of eyes did not catch a single letter in an email address.
Okay.
That everything else looked normal. It looked like real business.
That's how they're able to use that. It used
a real person's name, someone that we actually do business with.
Okay.
All of it was it was both clever and low tech at the same time.
Okay.
And I'll say this because I've, you know, in having some conversations with staff, I want to make it clear, the matter is still under investigation. We still hope that we will somehow track down the individual or individuals responsible. We did have insurance. The city had insurance coverage for this kind of an incident occurring. We take out insurance on all kinds. We have all kinds of lines of insurance, given the scope of things that we do in the city of Frederick. So it's our expectation that as that insurance claim moves its way through the processing, that the funds that were erroneously transferred will be recovered.
All right, we'll move on.
Transparency. If there's other questions people want to know the answers to, if we can answer it, we will. We're not trying to not talk about this, but at the same time, we also don't want to say or do things that may in fact jeopardize an ongoing investigation
or give people
more ideas about things that they should try. I mean, we're not trying to. I really don't want to lay a roadmap out. I've probably already said more than I should.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to not be transparent.
Okay. I understand that.
We're the victim, Bob. We're the victim.
I get that. I just, you know, when it comes to municipalities and you see that, and it's a big number, it's taxpayer dollars. And when you come to that, people get a little antsy about what's going on and whether or not, who's guarding the chicken house.
And we get antsy about it as well. It's why we work every day to try and do all that we can, to protect all of our assets.
Are you in favor of different legislative districts in Frederick? Aldermen have been talking about it, and I took some of them to task where they said that we're not representing certain parts of Frederick as well as we should be. And I say, well, that's on the aldermen for not doing their jobs.
I think I would generally agree that if there are parts of Frederick that don't feel like they have representation, then there is the ability to hold elected officials, the mayor included, in saying, hey, you're not paying attention to our community and what's going on. I think Frederick, when I first ran for the Board of Aldermen in 2009, I think Frederick was small enough, and I generally think it still is. You can get to every neighborhood in the city on a regular basis, no matter where you live. It is possible to stay in touch with every neighborhood in Frederick, even at the size that we are right now. At some point, we're going to be too big. It's going to be more people, more travel, a lower ability to be able to connect with it. I'm not sure when you cross that threshold. There are communities much smaller than Frederick that already have legislative wards or districts or council member districts, whatever it might be, in their municipal government. So, I mean, it's really it's a feel thing for the community. The community has to, I think, weigh in on these issues. If the community doesn't believe that the Board of Aldermen is fully representing them because they need districts, then the community needs to tell us that. But that can look like districts. It can also look like, you know, It could be a responsiveness thing. I'm not going to make a judgment on that. Mm-hmm. The alderman that I've had the benefit of working with over the last 14 years that I've been in office, I think have been highly conscientious about trying to be all over the city and at as many different things as they can. But what the community feels about that relationship, they need to speak up.
Real quick, because I know your time is short, my time is short as well. I saw a story about affordable housing in Frederick. What does that mean to you? What is affordable housing in Frederick, and how does the city put affordable housing in without crimping people who are building the homes?
So I think affordable housing broadly means that there's a housing supply available for people at all different price points. So that people who have high income earners are never going to have a hard time finding a place to live. It is generally middle and lower income earners, people who have full-time jobs, people who fit into that Alice cohort, who may struggle to find a house at the price point that they can afford. So for me, affordable housing is making sure that you've got housing availability for all of those different price points. The way in which you get that is a much more challenging dynamic because the market works the way the market works. So there has to be some influencing of that market, either through low-income housing tax credits, which the state has provided, what the city and the county could do with payment in lieu of tax agreements, pilot agreements to stabilize assessments in property values over time. It's land banking. It's 100 little things to try and create the incentives in the right landscape. You're unlikely to see a 200-unit housing development built. And I'm not sure that you would want it that was all built with a single price point in mind. So it's a complicated problem that we've got to look at project by project, 10, 20, 25 units at a time to try and get to the place where we're providing housing that is price appropriate for all. Alderman Shackelford coined that phrase, price appropriate housing for all income levels.
It was hard for me being middle class. Me and my wife, we couldn't find anything in Frederick. It was tough.
And because there's not a lot of resale on the market right now, new homes are driving it, and new homes are always going to slightly lead a market relative to existing homes. So that's one of the dynamics that interest rates have had over the last couple of years in changing the dynamic of who and where people can afford to buy homes.
Mayor O'Connor, we appreciate your time. We got to go. I thank you, sir. We'll have another great discussion next month.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day. It's 6:51. A business update with Chris Murray is next.
I'm attorney Randolph Rice with Rice Murtha Pasors. If you've been injured, you need someone in your corner. Call Rice Murtha Pasors today for a free consultation. We're ready to fight for you.
Rice Murtha Pasors, your official injury lawyers.
Pure Talk Believe.